Hello and welcome to the John Markham Leadership Podcast. I am Pastor John Markham of Life City Church in Santa Clara, California. Joining me today is my good comrade Ace. That's my dog. He's going to help me out, hopefully, by staying quiet while we're doing this today. Hey, welcome. It's been a little while since I've added a podcast. I've wanted to work through what I wanted to accomplish with this opportunity, and I even shared on social media last week some of the things that I'm hoping to do. And the whole point of this for me is that I want to have an opportunity to return and to pour back into the next generation of church leaders and maybe new ministers, new pastors, new leaders in churches. To help you reach your full potential in Christ, to help you do exactly what God's called you to do. I've been a lead pastor for about 4 years, and I've been in ministry for about 10 years more than that. And I really want to provide some resources to people who are learning to do this thing that we call ministry. And so here's just a few things that I hope to accomplish over the next couple of weeks and months. One of the greatest things I feel like I have to contribute is teaching people about preaching, how to share God's word effectively. I also want to take the time to talk about counseling. Most pastors are not professionally trained counselors. And so how do you approach that? Because you're going to have to do a lot of counseling as a pastor or a ministry leader. I want to talk more and more about how to share your faith and how to actually give the gospel and lead people to making decisions for Christ. That's something that I feel like God has given me an extraordinarily great amount of opportunity to do. I got to lead my first person I got to lead to Christ personally. I was a child. I was, I think, 11 years old, got to lead a couple of my friends to Christ. And I remember thinking at that age, if I could spend the rest of my life doing this, no matter what it pays or what it's worth or what it gets me in life, this is worth it to me. I want to do that. And that's really the short version of how I ended up getting into ministry and being interested in ministry. I want to talk about leading your church through racial reconciliation. I want to talk about some of the things that have become buzzwords in church ministry and church leadership lately that have provided a lot of confusion and a great lack of clarity. Things like the relationship between attractional churches and missional churches, and what does that mean, and what are you, and what's biblical and what's not. So I want to tackle several of those things, but today I want to deal with preaching itself. And the next couple of podcasts that I release, I'm going to be dealing with preaching exclusively. If I get any questions that come in, I may take some time to address those. But I want you to also know that if you go to my webpage, there's to johnmarkham.org, you can sign up to receive emails from me. And I will send you, if you sign up for our podcast emails, I will send you notes to all of my podcasts before we actually begin the podcast, and you can follow along. Right now, the handout for what is preaching is up on the website, and you can download that and follow along. If you have, then great, you can follow along with what I'm about to go through and walk through with you. If you don't, that's okay. Then you can still follow along and still learn a lot from this. I believe God is going to really bless you for this. No matter where you are in the country or the world, whether you're even in full-time ministry or just praying about it, it's my prayer that God would use these resources as a means of shaping your heart and life to be more like Jesus Christ and to fulfill the calling that he's placed on you. So what is preaching? We've used that a lot of times outside of church. A lot of people who don't even go to church will use that word preaching. You know, you're preaching at me kind of becomes another word for nagging a lot of times. So for the purpose of this podcast and the next couple of podcasts that we're going to be talking about this, I'm defining preaching as teaching from the Bible with the intention to compel a group of people toward a specific response. Teaching from the Bible with the intention of compelling a group of people toward a specific response. That word compel is important to me. It gets treated a lot of times as being synonymous with force or manipulate. No, I think that one of the greatest losses in our time is the loss of giving a compelling argument or giving a compelling message. Compelling means that you've told me something that makes me feel like I must respond to that. The choice to respond is on the listener, but if we're going to lead people somewhere, if we're going to teach them biblical truth and encourage them to respond, it must be something that makes them want to take action, makes them want to respond appropriately, and that is called being compelling. And so all of us want to listen to something, to learn from something that has a compelling message. One of the greatest things I think is wrong in our church world and in American church our world specifically is that we've taken the most life-changing, life-giving message in the universe and have literally bored people to sleep with it. Preaching should not be that way. Preaching should be compelling. I have a kind of second thought on that, about what is preaching. I say this all the time. Every sermon should ultimately have one main thought. Everything else is just a supporting cast. Every sermon should have ultimately one main thought. Everything else is just a supporting cast. It was pretty common years ago when I was growing up, really, that at least this was the philosophy of some preachers and pastors, that we're just going to give our people a lot of information. We're going to dump a lot of biblical stuff on them, and something will stick. Well, what ended up happening a lot of times was that a lot of content would be delivered, but not a lot would actually stick. So you'd leave with like an impression of how you felt about that message, but you wouldn't really remember much of the content of it. And if your message is going to be compelling, if your sermons are going to be compelling, there's got to be a takeaway, there's got to be a nugget, there's got to be a thing that people walk away with and say, I'm going to remember that. And so compelling preaching does that. What is that one main thought, the one thing that you want them to walk away from and remember? And some people who maybe don't have any experience preaching yet, like, well, why don't I just say that one thing and then they can go home? My message is done in 30 seconds. No, you're missing the point. The rest of the message is vital to communicating that one main point and helping it become compelling. The way it's often thought of is like the tip of a spear. Everything gets put on that end of the spear. All the weight, all the pressure, all the ability to punch through something is on the tip of that spear. But you need the rest of the spear. You need the shaft of the spear to provide that thrust to be able to make that connection. Well, similarly, everything else in the message is still important, but that one main thought, that one main point, that one main action that you're trying to compel people towards through God's word, that's where everything ends up making its impact. Everything else is important to driving that point forward. So that's just some thoughts on what is preaching. Let me tell you a little bit of what preaching is not, because this also gets, I think, lost in the weeds oftentimes as well. There's a lot of other things that get misconstrued with preaching. So for one, preaching is not a lecture. I would define a lecture as information without application. Anytime you're just giving a data dump onto people, you're not really preaching to them. You're just giving them a lecture. You might be able to call that teaching, because you're helping them hopefully retain some knowledge, but you're not actually compelling them towards a specific biblical response. And so that's not what preaching is. And for the sake of this tutorial podcast, that's not what I'm talking about when I talk about preaching. Preaching is not simply an inspirational or motivational speech. It's not just good vibes without biblical truth. We often talk about, in my church, one of the values we have is we say that we'd rather, we speak life. We'd rather be known by what we're for rather than by what we're against. So we have an attitude of leaving things with a positive direction, encouraging and moving forward with optimism. But we also have this deep abiding commitment to truth. We say that we are completely and utterly committed to God's word, the Bible. And so if you just kind of make people feel good and kind of sprinkle some Holy Spirit, magic at them and tell them to have a good week in Jesus' name and everything's going to be fine, and you don't really give them biblical content that's anchored in the truth of Scripture, then you didn't really preach to them. Again, preaching is teaching from the Bible with the intention of compelling people toward a specific response. If it's not from the Bible, it's not preaching. Not for the sake of this podcast anyway. It might be nagging, how other people tend to mean the word preaching, but it's not biblical preaching. It's also not entertainment. We're not here to provide a show. Now, don't misunderstand me. Preaching should be engaging. It should make people sit on the edge of their seat, want them to lean in and learn more and grow from what you're delivering, what you're preaching. And then there's, the use of humor. Humor is important in preaching, getting people to laugh with you. Laughing is consent. I don't know if you realize that, but laughing is acknowledging that to some basic level that I agree with what you said was funny. Nervous laughs are a different thing. That's courtesy. That's trying to make people not feel bad about the bad jokes they just told. But in general, a sincere laugh is a certain degree of consent. So getting people to laugh with you is helping them to kind of come alongside with what you're saying, to see what to see your perspective and to see what the Bible's perspective is about a given subject. So it does. It's not the entertainment or that being enjoyable, rather, is probably a better way of saying that. It's not that those things don't have a value. It's that they're not the point. It's not their there to put on a show. It's not there to entertain people. It's not Comedy Hour. It's not there to people walk away and boy, was that guy funny. Wow, that was a great joke. And they miss the entire one main thought from God's word that you're trying to compel them towards. So it's not simply entertainment. Number four, it's not an act. It's not an act. You need to be who you are. I've watched a lot of preachers who get up there on a stage or behind a podium or whatever they're given, you know, context is, and they transform into this completely different human being. They act like somebody else. And a lot of times, as I've found out, the reason for that isn't because they're necessarily trying to put on an act specifically, not trying to take on some different preacher persona. A lot of times it's because they're not even writing their own sermons. And don't get me wrong, I've borrowed a few messages from other people, just like other people have borrowed some messages from me. But it's genuinely me up there preaching when I stand up there. I'm not trying to embody somebody else when I take up the opportunity to preach. You need to be who you are. You need to be authentic. You need to be transparent in a lot of ways. Yes, you do need to be prepared and polished, but you need to be personal above all else. Be yourself. It's not an act. Quit faking your way up there. Be honest, be authentic, be transparent, be prepared, be polished, but be personal as well. So those are a few things that preaching is not. Here's the thing that I made this decision a long time ago when it came to preaching, that every time I preached, I would always remember these three questions, and I would do my best every time I wrote a sermon or a message or whatever you want to call it, that I would do my best every single time I prepared a message, that I would answer these three questions every single time. And those three questions are simply this: what does the Bible say? Again, if it's not anchored in the scriptures, then it's not preaching for the sake of how we mean it here in this podcast. So what does the Bible actually say? Number two, what does it mean? Context is important. I had a fellow pastor in my life that said that a text taken out of context becomes a pretext. And the point of that meaning is that if you aren't understanding what the Bible's actually saying in the manner it's being written, in the context that's being delivered originally, then you're setting yourself up for a false interpretation of Scripture. Which leads me to the third point: how do we live it here and now? So those are the three questions that I ask. What does the Bible actually say? What does it actually mean? And how do we live this here and now? One of the things I've often gotten into the practice of doing is that for part of my sermon delivery or sermon preparation, and usually I usually try to do this somewhat after I've written the bones of my message. I'm trying to put together like the meat of it, kind of filling in the context of the rest of the message. I like to go to a coffee shop or somewhere more in a public place where I still have some privacy. People aren't necessarily going to bother me, but so that I can look around and see the people in my community. And part of the value to that for me is that I'm thinking to myself as I'm putting the finishing touches on a sermon, how is this going to matter to that person sitting across the coffee shop from me? How's this going to matter in his life today? What if he comes to my church this Sunday and he hears this message? And I don't know what his spiritual background is. I don't know if he knows Christ. I don't know if he's ever even been to church for that matter. How's it going to make a difference in his life? How does he live this here and now? Not just what does the Bible say? This isn't just a lecture. Not just what does it mean? This isn't just, again, a good talk. But how do I get this to a compelling point of application for a person who's walking up to this for the first time here and now? So those are the three questions that I try to answer every single time I preach. What does the Bible actually say? What does it actually mean? How do we live this here and now? Now, when we come to the Bible, and this could easily be its own podcast, this could really be its own book, and there are great books written on this. I'd even make a suggestion probably at the end of this to kind of help you think through and process some of the things that I'm sharing. But there's this concept of how do we approach the scriptures, and what are we looking for when we do? And so theologically, the words that we use to describe this tension is exegesis versus eisegesis. Exegesis versus eisegesis. And what that simply means is this: exegesis means taking one's perspective from the scriptures. Eisegesis means inserting one's perspective into the scripture. One of the jokes that other preachers in my life have kind of often humorously said is, I've got a great idea for a sermon, I just need to find some scripture to go along with it now. And they're being a little bit facetious when they say that, but the point of what they're making is that oftentimes we get ideas of what we want to preach, but we haven't actually gone to the scriptures to find it. So when we go to the Bible, we're actually looking for the Bible to say something. We're looking to insert or inject a meaning into the scriptures that might not actually be there, which again, refer back to the three questions. What does the Bible actually say? What does it actually mean? And then how do we live it here and now? And the point I say in bringing all this up is that if we come to the Bible, if we come to the scriptures with this notion that I'm going to find some scripture to go along with what I want to teach, or I'm going to the scriptures to find something to go along with what I already think or believe, then we're not letting God's word affect our lives, to penetrate our hearts, and then from that to flow out of us into other people. We don't look into the Bible to justify our perspective. We search the scriptures to submit ourselves to God's perspective. I want to say that again, if it's not in your notes or the handout I gave you guys, that may be something you want to write down. We don't look in the Bible to justify our perspective. We search the scriptures to submit ourselves to God's perspective. And one of the reasons that a lot of preachers don't do this very well is because it requires this dirty four-letter word that we really are uncomfortable with. And that word is work. It takes work to go into the scriptures, to search through what the Bible says, and to look for understanding from God's vantage point of what he wants to do in our hearts and lives, and what he's already done, and what that means for us today. I'll be honest, there have been several times where I have attempted to put together a sermon, and I've begun writing it out, and as I'm going to the scriptures, as I'm kind of coming back and forth between the notes that I'm trying to put together to preach a certain subject or on a certain issue, and I'm coming to God's word to try to see what God's word says about this, there have been many times where I've had to, and I generally start off my sermons on a whiteboard, writing down, just that way I can erase, scribble, rearrange things easily. My whiteboard is an extension of my brain, but there have been many times in the process of trying to write a message out, trying to get the bones of it together even, that I've had to erase the whole thing and just start all over because I realize I'm trying to get the Bible to agree with me instead of make myself agree with the Bible. And so I need to start over and come back to what the scriptures are actually telling me, and I need to submit myself to God's perspective. And so it's really important. It takes a lot of work. I remember one week, this wasn't actually that long ago, it was probably, I think, 3 or 4 months ago, that I literally had to restart my sermon like 4 different times. And it's not that I was like writing this ungodly, unbiblical message, but I was trying to force scripture into a message that it didn't belong in. I was trying to force the Bible to make my sermon sound good instead of changing my message to speak what the Bible was actually telling me. And so it takes hard work, and there's believe me, it's no fun having to start all over, especially if you actually start getting some stuff together and you take a step back from the whiteboard and you look at it and you're like, you know what, this isn't what it's supposed to be. This isn't what the scriptures are actually trying to say in these contexts. And it's humbling. It's humbling after over a decade of preaching to have to do that occasionally still, but it's work. And good preachers put the work in to make sure they're communicating God's word compellingly, but accurate to the scriptures at the same time. So all preaching must include a few things. And again, this is just coming from me. There's a lot of great people you can follow, you can listen to. There's literally hundreds of books written on the subject of preaching. I'll recommend a couple to you. But this is just from my vantage point. This is from my years of preaching and communicating God's word. There's 4 things that all preaching must include. If you didn't do this, then you didn't do the point of preaching, which is teaching from the Bible with the intention of compelling people toward a specific response. Here's those 4 things. Number 1, it must include scripture, and more specifically, an explanation of the scripture. I call this interpretation. You have to have some time where you are communicating what the Bible says. Here's this passage of scripture. Let me help you understand a little bit of the context, maybe some of the ways that you kind of go, you know, explaining this. In this particular context, Jesus just came from this background, or when Moses was coming down the mountain, this was what he had experienced and why this was such a big deal. When Abraham left in Genesis chapter 12 to follow God, here's why that was so crazy and why he is the father of our faith in so many ways. On and on and on we go, explaining the content of the scriptures, interpretation. You got to share some interpretation. Number 2 is you got to give some practical examples, because here's the thing. The Bible was finished being written almost 2,000 years ago. Most of our people in our churches and our communities weren't around back then. If you do the math, you know I'm being a little bit funny, but yeah, none of them were around back then. And in fact, we're so far removed from it that oftentimes it's not just time distance, it's location distance, it's geography, it's cultural differences from where the Bible was written and the context it was originally given to where it is today. So one of the best things that you and I need to do when we preach is we don't just need to give some interpretation. Here's what the Bible says. Here's some examples of what it means. But we need to fill in that gap by giving some practical, personal examples. This is illustration. So sharing the scriptures and explaining the scriptures is interpretation. Giving practical examples of the scriptures, sharing it from your life is another way of doing it. That'd be an illustration. That's really important, helping get to the point of preaching a compelling message. Number three, the third thing all preaching must include is specific instruction. So distill that thought down to a single point. What are they supposed to take away from this? So I understand what the Bible says. I got an example of what it looks like from a personal example, from a personal illustration. Now, what do I do with this? Give me an application. Give me an instruction to take home with this. And last of all, and this one's so important, all four of these main things are so critical to preaching a compelling message. The last thing is giving the why. It's giving the exhortation. Exhortation means to admonish, to encourage them, to tell them why this is important and encourage them to go do it. What happens when we follow this instruction from God's word? What happens when we apply this truth to our marriages or to our coworker relationships or to how we handle our finances or how we serve those who are less fortunate than ourselves? And on we go. What happens when we do this together as a church family? The world sees Jesus at work through us. And you're a part of the family of God. And when we do this together, the world sees Jesus through us. You've got to give the exhortation. You got to give the why, the motive, the reason for doing the application. It's on par with a child asking why all the time. You know, we kid that, you know, when your children are within a certain age, they want to know why. And they ask why from like 2 years old to like, my oldest is 11, almost 12, and I still get why from her. But at least I feel like I can explain more to her at this point. But the point, I guess, is that the why is important. When you understand the why, you'll remember the what. The why is always more important than the what. If I teach you what, you'll do it once or twice, but if I teach you why, it will stick with you for the rest of your life. So that's the same, when we preach, we've got to give the exhortation, we've got to give the why, we've got to call them to doing this thing and open their eyes and paint a picture of what the future would look like in their lives, in their marriages, in their finances, in their communities, in the world at large, when we do this blank application that we've just given. You got to give the exhortation. Giving the exhortation is, giving the why is the difference between filling sandbags, which nobody wants to do, or building a dike to protect your town from a flood. Nobody wants to fill sandbags, but everybody wants to keep their house from being destroyed. So what's it going to be? You got to give the exhortation. So those are the four things that all preaching must include. It must include interpretation. What does the Bible say? What does it mean? It must include illustration. What does it look like? How can I relate to this today? It must include application. How do I do this? What's a specific instruction to take away from this? And it must include exhortation. Why should I go do this? What happens when I step forward and trust God in this area and I do that thing? Now, there's different types of preaching, and depending on who you ask, there's anyway from one or two to 10 or 12 different ways that you can preach or give or deliver a sermon. For the sake of my perspective, there are four different types of preaching, four different types of sermons that are in my tool belt that I preach on a consistent basis. And this is usually the part where I start losing some people when I talk to other preachers or people who come from a certain type of church, because what often gets communicated through a lot of other people is that there's only one way to preach. There's only one type of sermon and everything else is unbiblical. Well, you can have that perspective, but I think you're missing a few things. And so I just want to kind of walk through what I think are the four main ways that I personally preach sermons. And I use all four of them consistently. I do have a few that I gravitate towards that are my default go-to styles of preaching just because it fits my preaching style and it fits my philosophy of preaching. But all four are completely valid when done biblically, when done well. And so here's what they are. The first one is walking through a single linear passage of scripture and gleaning one main point and every subsequent point from that passage of scripture. Sermon begins and ends with that scripture. And that is called expository preaching. Expository preaching. Number two, addressing a specific subject and making your one main point from that subject, and then all your supporting points basically connect to that main idea through multiple passages of scripture. And this preaching begins not with the scripture, but it begins with the subject. It begins with a topic, and if you haven't figured it out, this is called topical preaching. Now, I know this is where we kind of begin saying, well, wait, I thought you said that if we get our perspective, you know, if we try to insert a perspective into the Bible, that was wrong, that was eisegesis. And yes, that's true. But it is perfectly fine to start with a topic and then say, okay, what does the Bible say about this subject? It's okay to start with the subject of sexuality or forgiveness or money or whatever, and then say, okay, what does the Bible say about this? We're still going to the scriptures to take our perspective from God's word and to submit ourselves to that perspective. Eisegesis occurs when I've already made up my mind what's right, and then I go to the Bible to try to justify that. So topical preaching is very valid when done right. There's a lot of people who give topical preaching a bad rap. Jesus preached topically very consistently. And so, I think that if he did it, that's probably okay for us to do it. Number three is narrative preaching. And this is one of my favorite styles of preaching. Quite honestly, even though I've preached a lot of stories, it's probably only been, I'd say, 3 years that I have consistently added narrative type of sermons to my preaching repertoire. And along those lines, what is a narrative sermon? A narrative sermon is basically an expository sermon that is specifically based in storytelling. Most of the Bible is narrative. Most of the Bible is storytelling. So understanding how to tell a story is critical. It's totally important. What happens in seminaries and Bible colleges a lot of time is that we focus on the epistles. We focus on the teachings, especially the teachings from the Apostle Paul, and we learn about these truths, and we learn how to understand these truths, and we learn how to preach these truths from the New Testament, from the epistles in particular. But the epistles are not very much storytelling. In fact, there's almost no storytelling in the epistles. Most of it is truth discussed. But the rest of the Bible, almost the entire Old Testament, the Gospels, the Book of Acts, is all storytelling. And so we've taken this one small portion of Scripture and learned it and learned how to preach it. Then we've taken that style of preaching and tried to apply it to the rest of how we teach the Bible. And that's probably not how God's Word was intended to be taught. In fact, it tells us in the Book of Mark that Jesus never taught the people without telling a story. So it was very obvious that his preferred means of preaching was narrative preaching. And so basically a narrative sermon is an expository sermon, but based in a story. And it is different in how you communicate that, and yet there's a lot of crossover as well. The last type of sermon is what I refer to, and others refer to, as textual preaching. And basically what a textual message is a hybrid of an expository and topical message. Textual preaching is a hybrid of an expository and textual message. And so it has a single short passage that's its base, that's kind of like the main point of what you're trying to communicate, but each supporting point is anchored in a different text, in a different scripture. So as opposed to an expository message where the main point, any other subsequent points are in that same block of scripture, textual, and unlike a topical message where everything's just kind of from a different passage of scripture to come to this one main idea, textual preaching is a hybrid of the two, where you have a main passage of scripture that's your main point, and everything else comes from a different passage of scripture that ties into that main idea. I love this style of preaching because we believe that scripture interprets scripture, and this kind of helps illustrate that and helps us see the Bible not just from a narrow one passage of scripture point of view, and not just from a shotgun style kind of a view like a topical message tends to be, but from a connected, integrated kind of point of view that textual preaching tends to give us the vantage point of seeing. So those are kind of the four main styles of preaching that I personally tend to preach. Those are my four main tools. Every one of my messages that I think I've ever preached would fall into one of those four types of preaching: expository, walking through a single linear passage of scripture, including one main point, every other subsequent point from that passage; topical preaching, where we address a subject and then we come to the scriptures to see what the scriptures say about that subject in various places; narrative preaching, which is expository preaching, but it's on a story and it's unpacking that story and telling that story as it was intended to be told; and then textual preaching, a hybrid of expository and topical preaching, where we get our main idea from one passage of scripture, but then we build upon that idea from other sources of scripture for our supporting points. Preaching. What is preaching? Preaching is teaching from the Bible with the intention to compel a group of people towards a specific action. Each sermon should ultimately have one main thought. Everything else is supporting cast. Preaching is not a lecture. It's not just information without application. It's not inspiration, motivational speaking. It's not just good vibes without biblical truth. It's not simply for the point of entertainment. We're not here to provide a show. It's not an act. We are to be ourselves. We're to be prepared and polished, but personal above all else. Every message should answer three questions. What does the Bible say? What does it mean? How do we live it here and now? We want to be preachers of the Word of God. What does the Bible say? So we preach exegetically. Exegesis means that we take our perspective from the Scriptures. Eisegesis means that we've inserted our perspective into the Scriptures when it didn't actually say that. And we don't want to look to the Bible to justify our perspective. We want to search the Scriptures in order to submit ourselves to God's perspective. All preaching includes interpretation, illustration, application, exhortation. Those are the four main parts of every sermon. And then there's four different types of preaching: expository preaching, topical preaching, narrative preaching, textual preaching. This is Pastor John Markham from Life City Church. You've been listening to the John Markham Leadership Podcast. I hope that you've grown in how you've looked at preaching, whether you're looking to become a preacher or learn how to preach, or you're just curious about how it's done. I hope this was insightful for you. Join me next time as we unpack some of these specific styles of preaching, and I can walk you through how to deliver an expository message or how to deliver a narrative message. In the future podcast, I'm also going to walk through how I plan an entire series of sermons. I actually plan a whole year at a time, and I usually do that in October for the following year, so that's coming up, so you're catching the podcast at a great time. This has been John Markham, and I hope you've had a good time listening and learning. Till next time, take care, and God bless.